Chapter 18. He is accustomed to be addressed deferentially, she said after a pause. A new, who is he? Asked Lingard, simply. These three words seemed to her to scatter her past in the air like smoke. They robbed all the multitude of mankind of every vestige of importance. She was amazed to find that on this night, in this place, there could be no adequate answer to the searching naiveness of that question. I didn't ask for much, Lingard began again. Did I? Only that you all should come on board my brig for 5 days. That's all. Do I look like a liar? There are things I could not tell him. I couldn't explain I couldn't not to him, to no man, to no man in the world, his voice dropped. Not to myself, he ended as if in a dream. We have remained unmolested so long here, began Mrs. Travers a little unsteadily, that it makes it very difficult to believe in danger now. We saw no one all these days except those two people who came for you. If you may not explain, of course, you can't be expected to see through a wall, broken Lingard. Tea is coast like a wall, but I know what's on the other side. A yacht here, of all things that float. When I set eyes on her, I could fancy as he hadn't been more than an hour from home. Nothing but the look of her spars made me think of old times. And then the faces of the chaps on board. I seemed to know them all. It was like home coming to me, when I wasn't thinking of it. And I hated the sight of you all. If we are exposed to any peril, she said after a pause during which she tried to penetrate the secret of passion hidden behind that man's words, it need not affect you. Our other boat is gone to the Straits, and effective help is sure to come very soon. Affect me? Is that precious watchman of yours coming aft? I don't want anybody to know I came here again begging, even of you. Is he coming aft? Listen. I've stopped your other boat. His head and shoulders disappeared, as though he had dived into a denser layer of obscurity floating on the water. The watchman, who had the intention to stretch himself in one of the deck chairs, catching sight of the owner's wife, walked straight to the lamp that hung under the ridge pole of the awning, and after fumbling with it for a time went away forward with an indolent gait. You dared? Mrs. Travers whispered down in an intense tone, and directly, Lingard's head emerged again below her with an upturned face. It was dare or give up. The help from the Straits would have been too late anyhow, if I hadn't the power to keep you safe, and if I had the power I could see you through it alone. I expected to find a reasonable man to talk to. I ought to have known better. You come from too far to understand these things. Well, I dared. I've sent after your other boat a fellow who, with me at his back, would try to stop the governor of the Straits himself. He will do it. Perhaps it's done already. You have nothing to hope for. But I am here. You said you believed I meant well, yes, she murmured. That's why I thought I would tell you everything. I had to begin with this business about the boat. And what do you think of me now? I've cut you off from the rest of the earth. You people would disappear like a stone in the water. You left one foreign port for another. Who's there to trouble about what became of you? Who would know? Who could guess? It would be months before they began to stir. I understand, she said, steadily, we are helpless. And alone, he added. After a pause she said in a deliberate, restrained voice. What does this mean? Plunder, captivity? It would have meant death, if I hadn't been here, he answered. But you have the power to, hi, do you think you are alive yet? He cried. Jorgensen has been arguing with them on shore, he went on, more calmly, with a swing of his arm toward where the night seemed darkest. Do you think he would have kept them back, if they hadn't expected me every day? His words would have been nothing without my fist. She heard a dull blow struck on the side of the yacht, and concealed in the same darkness that wrapped the unconcern of the earth and sea, the fury and the pain of hearts, she smiled above his head, fascinated by the simplicity of images and expressions. Lingard made a brusque movement, the lively little boat being unsteady under his feet, and she spoke slowly, absently, as if her thought had been lost in the vagueness of her sensations. And this Jorgensen, you said? Who is he? A man, he answered, a man like myself.
Like yourself?
Just like myself, he said with strange reluctance, as if admitting a painful truth. M more sense, perhaps, but less luck. Though, since Iriad has turned up here, I begin to think that my luck is nothing much to boast of either. Is our presence here so fatal? It may be death to some. It may be worse than death to me. And it rests with you in a way. Think of that. I can never find such another chance again. But that's nothing. A man who has saved my life once, and that I passed my word to would think I had thrown him over. But that's nothing. Listen. As true as I stand here in my boat talking to you, I believe the girl would die of grief. You love her, she said, softly. Like my own daughter, he cried, low. Mrs. Travers said, oh, faintly, and for a moment there was a silence, then he began again. Look here. When I was a boy in a trawler, and looked at the yacht people, in the channel ports, you were as strange to me as the Malays here are strange to you. I left home 16 years ago, and fought my way all around the earth. I had the time to forget where I began. What are you to me against these two? If I was to die here on the spot, would you care? No one would care at home. No one in the whole world but these two. What can I do? She asked, and waited, leaning over. He seemed to reflect, then lifting his head, spoke gently. Do you understand the danger you are in? Are you afraid? I understand the expression you used, of course. Understand the danger? She went on. No, decidedly no. And honestly, I am not afraid. Aren't you? He said in a disappointed voice. Perhaps you don't believe me? I believed you, though, when you said you were sure I meant well. I trusted you enough to come here asking for your help, telling you what no one knows. You mistake me, she said with impulsive earnestness. This is so extraordinarily unusual, sudden, outside my experience. I, he murmured, what would you know of danger and trouble? You. But perhaps by thinking it over, you want me to think myself into a fright. Mrs. Travers laughed lightly, and in the gloom of his thought this flash of joyous sound was incongruous and almost terrible. Next moment the night appeared brilliant as day, warm as sunshine. But when she ceased, the returning darkness gave him pain, as if it had struck heavily against his breast. I don't think I could do that, she finished in a serious tone. Couldn't you? He hesitated, perplexed. Things are bad enough, to make it no shame. I tell you, he said, rapidly, and I am not a timid man, I may not be able to do much, if you people don't help me. You want me to pretend I am alarmed? She asked, quickly. Aye, to pretend as well you may. It's a lot to ask of you who perhaps never had to make believe a thing in your life, isn't it? It is, she said after a time. The unexpected bitterness of her tone struck Lingard with dismay. Don't be offended, he entreated. I've got to plan a way out of this mess. It's no play either. Could you pretend? Perhaps, if I tried very hard. But to what end? You must all shift aboard the brig, he began, speaking quickly, and then we may get over this trouble without coming to blows. Now, if you were to say that you wish it, that you feel unsafe in the yacht, don't you see? I see, she pronounced, thoughtfully. The brig is small but the cuddy is fit for a lady, went on Lingard with animation. Has it not already sheltered a princess? She commented, coolly. And I shall not intrude. This is an inducement. Nobody will dare to intrude. You needn't even see me. This is almost decisive, only I know my place. Only, I might not have the influence, she finished. That I cannot believe, he said, roughly. The long and the short of it is you don't trust me, because you think that only people of your own condition speak the truth always. Evidently, she murmured. You say to yourself, here's a fellow deep in with pirates, thieves, niggers, to be sure, a man I never saw the like before, went on lingered, headlong, a ruffian. He checked himself, full of confusion. After a time he heard her saying, calmly, you are like other men in this, that you get angry when you cannot have your way at once. I angry, he exclaimed in deadened voice. You do not understand. I am thinking of you also, it is hard on me, I mistrust not you, but my own power. You have produced an unfortunate impression on Mr. Travers. Unfortunate impression. He treated me as if I had been a longshore loafer. Never mind that. He is your husband. Fear in those you care for is hard to bear for any man. And so, he, what Machiavellism? Eh, what did you say? I only wondered where you had observed that. On the sea? Observed what? He said, absently. Then pursuing his idea, any word from you ought to be enough. You think so? I am sure of it. Why, even I, myself, of course, she interrupted. Be but don't you think that, after parting with you on such inimical terms, there would be a difficulty in resuming relations? A man like me would do anything for money, don't you see? After a pause she asked. And would you care for that argument to be used? As long as you know better. His voice vibrated, she drew back disturbed, as if unexpectedly he had touched her. What can there be at stake, she began, wonderingly. A kingdom, said Lingard. Mrs. Travers leaned far over the rail, staring, and their faces, one above the other, came very close together. Not for yourself, she whispered. He felt the touch of her breath on his forehead, and remained still for a moment, perfectly still as if he did not intend to move or speak anymore. Those things, he began, suddenly, come in your way, when you don't think, and they get all around you before you know what you mean to do. When I went into that bay in New Guinea, I never guessed where that course would take me to. I could tell you a story. You would understand. You. He stammered, hesitated, and suddenly spoke, liberating the visions of 2 years into the night, where Mrs. Travers could follow them, as if outlined in words of fire. Via, his tale was as startling as the discovery of a new world. She was being taken along the boundary of an exciting existence, and she looked into it through the guileless enthusiasm of the narrator. The heroic quality of the feelings concealed what was. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.